Just wanted to sort of introduce the morning and why we do this. So we've called it Stories of Grace. There we go, that's working. And Stories of Grace, and we used to call it Testimony Sunday, and people probably think, what on earth's a Testimony Sunday? Sounds like a football match or something. But so we call it Stories of Grace because we want to share the stories of what God has been doing in people's lives. And mainly we do that because, the Bible does it, and we're going to have a look at that in a minute and see how God speaks to us through the lives of people that have loved and worshipped and served him in the past, right the way back to the beginning. And we do it because it just encourages us, because we find actually we often go through similar things to one another, and sometimes we can really feel like we're on our own in a situation. And it's quite easy to be sitting there thinking, why am I going through this? You know, why is this happening to me? And I did an interesting thing. I was in Havant last week, and as part of the preach, I was just talking about the struggles that we have in life, that actually the Bible doesn't tell us, oh, become a Christian and your life will be easy. Actually, no, it says life is really hard. Expect to have trouble. It says, you know, don't be surprised when you face trials of every kind. Actually, God is at work in those trials. And so I want to do something I did in Havant last week. And if you have had a struggle, a difficult time in your life in the last 2 years, put up your hand. So if you have a look around, and you'll see that pretty much most, if not all of us, have gone through something. And so some of the lies that we hear, you know, it's great what Mary brought there, just, you know, sometimes we just get a lie of Satan that loves to corner us, say, this is just happening to you, God doesn't love you. Actually, look, all the people in this room, we've all gone through trials just in the last 2 years. I mean, it's been a particularly challenging couple of years, but it's to encourage you, you're not on your own in this, and it's not unusual either. And so it's really good to hear stories of people's lives that have been difficult and how God is at work in that. And so I want to encourage you in that. If you're going through a hard time, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Actually, no, the Bible's very clear that actually life is a struggle. And we know that because of sin. We know that that God designed things perfectly in the beginning, and yet because of free will and because of our choices and because of sin, and you go back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, that's another sermon. We're going to be doing Genesis soon, so we'll get to that in a few weeks. But all to say is you've only got to look at your own life and say, look, there are reasons why you don't do the things that even you want to do or the things you know you should do. It's because there is a bend in our heart that somehow goes towards selfishness and sin, even when we don't want to. And so the Bible's clear that that is something that has to be sorted out, and that's why Jesus came, and that's why God sent his own son to come and live the life that we should have lived and to die in our place and to take the punishment for our sin that a holy and righteous God should bring, and because God can't stand in the presence of that. But what we know is, whether we believe in those stories or not, what we can see is that the world around us is broken, and that brokenness needs to be repaired. And that brokenness, often God gets accused of saying, well, God can't exist, he can't be good, because look at the state of things. Actually, those things are only bad because God exists, because God is good. If there is no God, then those things just are nothing, they're neutral. And so actually the fact that we know that they're bad is actually something that demonstrates that there is something better out there, that things are not right and they should be different. And God tells us about that in the Bible. So I thought it'd be good just to take a look at the book of Hebrews. We do like to preach from the Bible because, you know, otherwise I'm just standing here giving you my ideas. It's good to see what God has said. And so we're going to have a look. I'm going to put it up on the screen here. If you want to open your Bible app and read it for yourself as well, or if you've got a Bible in front of you, then why not read through? But I've skipped over a couple of verses just because it's quite a long passage, but I'll read it and you can read it with me on the screen. And what this is a book of the New Testament being written really about a summary of people from the Old Testament, and why their lives and the things that they did for God and with God should encourage us. And so I thought it would be a good place to start. And so he begins, the writer of Hebrews says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And this is what the ancients were commended for. So it begins with faith. You know, often we get told, oh, it's good to have a faith. It's great, you know, believe in anything, it's just good for you. It's like, well, only if it's true. Actually, no, the faith that we have is something solid. It's confidence in what we hope for. And what we hope for is that actually God will continue to do what he's always done. It's an assurance about what we do not see. And so it carries on in verse 3, by faith we understand the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was made, not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel, so going right back to the beginning here, brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he's dead. And down to verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. He heard God. God said, no, you need to do this. It seemed ridiculous, but he did it. And by his faith, he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. So God called him to go somewhere. He wasn't sure, but he went anyway. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, that's his son and his grandson, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, unable to have children, but she was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as sands on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. I mean, that's an interesting one, isn't it? You know, it's like they knew God had promised these things, but the thing that they got was eternal. And yet, we see their stories. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of a country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, Abraham had been told, this child is your child of promise, but actually now I want you to sacrifice him. And yet somehow through that, and Abraham trusted God and went to do that. But Abraham reasoned, because he had faith, that God could even raise the dead. So obedience was more important. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead, from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regards to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he chose to be mistreated. This is an act of faith. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And might see some of that come out in the testimonies, you know, where people basically make sacrifices in their life because they know that God's calling is more important. And then verse 26, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ. This is Moses, you know, a few hundred thousand or 1,500 years before Jesus, as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And that's the whole story of Moses in the book of Exodus. And by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. And by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And you can read that in the book of Joshua, all the stories. And it finishes with, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us they would be made perfect. And so what it's saying here is that there is a story that God is writing throughout history. And you might not be familiar with some of those stories. I encourage you to go back and find some of them and read them and get familiar with. You know, these were people who had normal lives. They were often people that were quite obscure and just not much about them, like Rahab the prostitute in the city of Jericho. And you see these stories, they're just normal people with normal problems, and yet somehow God comes into their life and speaks to them and calls them to obedience, calls them to faith, and they trust him. And all of a sudden, their names are written down in Scripture to encourage the rest of us. And so I wanted to just share that passage because I think it's, you know, it's a good thing to get familiar with the Bible and see that actually all the things in there are for our encouragement. But also the reason we're telling these stories this morning is to say that God is continuing to do these things in people's lives. So it's good to see it written about people, and you might look at that and say, well, that's just stories from the past. But actually, no, these same stories, when you read the biblical stories, you find these things happening in your own life when you put your faith in Jesus and you trust God. And that's what we want to hear today. And so I thought just finally, before people come up and talk, I just want to share the story of Grace Church, just to give you a bit of context about who we are and where we came from. So a guy called Steve Petch and his family, they felt called to plant a church in Chichester back in 2006. And so about 12 people met in Oving Village Hall. Is anyone here that was in that village hall? I can see Tim and Kate. So, well, I'll tell you what, we've got almost 70% of you, I reckon, at a quick head count. And so right at the beginning, I mean, you could come and tell the story better than me, but you were there. And so we did that. They met and they prayed and they went out and told people about God and encouraged people to come in. And the church started to grow. And in June that year, the church moved to Chichester High School. So this is right back in 2006. And things continued to happen. By about 2007, I reckon we had around about 100 people. I was part of the church. I came around then. And there was a good bunch of people, and it just saw God at work in all the people's lives. And we used to do things like this and share stories and stuff like that. And then we ended up going to the Grace Centre, which was that awful building at the end of Terminus Road, where my wife and I got married. And there are no photos of the wedding venue. But that didn't matter because we were with our family, the people of God, and we loved it. We had a great time getting married there. Fortunately, they trashed that place, knocked it down, and built some nice offices. And through that, we ended up moving and ended up here. Obviously, we went back to the high school. But in that time, we felt God call us to plant a site in Bognor. And so we sent 100 people off to Bognor and began a church there, and that's still going strong. And we're one church, multi-site church. It was an unusual thing to do at the time, but we just felt in God that's what he was calling us to do. And so we've got people gathering in Bognor this morning doing this same thing. And that was in 2013. Then in 2015, we felt God say again, I want you to plant a site in Chichester, in Midhurst. And so we sent a group of people off to Midhurst and began a site there. And then during that time, we had some leadership changes, and Steve moved off to Woking, David took over, and then we bought this building. This opportunity came up for a building. And as a church, we got together, and I can't remember what it was. We did like a gift day towards this church, just encourage people, say, look, we feel God's calling us to this. We're going to have to pay for it and just feel what God is saying. And I think we got about £300,000 or £400,000 towards a deposit for this building, which is just incredible. And all these different things happened, and we were part of this journey. And those of you that have been here some time would know that. And that was 2017 into 2018. God gave us the gift of Steve Blaber to help see through that project. And he looks embarrassed under his mask. I can see it from here. And God's timing was perfect with that. And then more recently, we started our Haven site. And then we've had the transition between David and now Joe leading the team. And all these different things have gone on. And I think it feels like the last sort of 3 or 4 years, there's just so much has happened. And yet it's all part of God's plan and God's story that we are now a part of. And it's like we're being written into this history. And so the people that are going to share their stories this morning really are just adding to that. And when you summarize something so quickly, you can miss the detail. And it's these stories now that are going to give us a little bit more of the intimate details of what goes on in people's lives. And so I want to start. I'm going to invite, we've got 8 people this morning, so I'm going to invite Ed and Emily. And they have joined us quite recently in September, and they're going to share a bit. So if you guys want to come, there's this mic here. Let's make sure I get this right. And give them a big hand. It's a big thing to do. There we go. I'm going to hand over, and then I'll just introduce each one beyond that.
Is it on? Hello? Okay, it does work. Perfect. Hi, my name's Ed. This is my wife, Emily. We joined the church in fairly late September in 2021, and we'd just like to share a bit of our story and how God's been working within us this last 6-8 months, really.
Yeah, so myself and Ed recently got married at the beginning of September, and before that we just graduated from 2 separate universities. So looking to get married and finishing uni, we were starting to think about, okay, well, where do we want to go? Where do we want to call home together? We'd been at two separate universities, and neither we felt was the right place to call home. We came from the same hometown, but again, it didn't feel right in God that that was where we would start our first home together. So we were praying, okay, God, well, where do you have for us? And as we were praying, we didn't really feel that God placed anywhere particular in our heart, but we really felt that God just reminded of the importance of church and church community. And so we started to pray, okay, well, God, what church do you have for us? What community of people are you calling us to be a part of? And so at the same time, we were looking for jobs. We need to pay for life. And a job came up here in Chichester for myself. I trained as a pediatric nurse, and a job came up at St. Richard's. And so I applied for it, and not really knowing where that would go, but we found out about Grace Church, having grown up in commissioned churches. And so the wonder of COVID and live streaming meant that we could, from home, look in and see a little bit of you guys and the community here. And we were just really encouraged and excited about the thought of Grace Church. So when I got an interview for the job, we had the opportunity to call Steve and to find out a little bit more. And as we entered that conversation, we were just praying that, God, if this is where you have us, just make that really clear. And we left that conversation being really excited. We felt that a couple of things that God had laid on our heart for potential areas to serve and things like that really felt just right after having that conversation with Steve. And so when I got the job at St. Richard's, it just really felt like that was confirmation and that God was calling us down here.
Yeah, and one of the main things, of course, coming down here and being recently married is we had to try and find somewhere to live. And for us, that ended up being a real challenge. It ended up taking us months. We came down, saw many properties, and every time we think, God, this is what you want, make it clear to us, and we go and think, actually, maybe this could be it. And we put an application, and then we wouldn't get accepted. And we went through this so many times, and we have finally found this one place, and we thought, actually, we'd love this place, and we really, really felt we'd go for it. And we put an offer in, and the day before we got married, we got it confirmed that we would be allowed to have this property. And God's timing really came through for us there. There's a lot of sleepless nights praying about where we're actually going to end up. So God's faith in that was just incredible. Another area is we've already heard Em's story of her job. For me, unfortunately, it was a little bit tougher. And so when we first moved down here, I had nothing lined up. We joined an incredible life group. So I'd love to say a massive thanks to the prayer that those the people in our life group who continue to give us, particularly through this. So I spent a couple of months at home while Em was working, trying to find jobs. I was getting absolutely nothing, sending off applications, getting rejected yet again and again and again. To the point I tried to find, is that just a Christmas part-time position just to keep myself ticking over and just bring a little bit more income into the household. And I got blessed with that. I got an incredible role, and I've only just finished my part-time there. But in that time, I got another incredible blessing from God. I got contacted by a company, and they were looking for someone. I'd never even heard of them, never even seen them. I was just told they're looking for someone with a skill that they'd noticed I had on a CV that I'd posted. If I'm honest, I'd forgotten about somewhere online. they called me up and said, actually, we're interested. This sounds like you could be, would you like to put an application in? So I was like, oh, perhaps. Before I got around to actually putting it in, I then got another call saying, actually, we'd like to interview you. And I was like, okay, all right. So I went to this interview, and I turned up, and they weren't even expecting me. There'd been a miscommunication. And so I was like, okay. See what happens. And they were like, actually, that's all right. We'll put you through. I'd like to chat with you. And it ends up going incredibly well. And I really felt like, wow, okay, this could be really something here. Went away, felt, actually, it's gone quite well. I got invited back for a second interview. And then I actually start this job tomorrow now. And so it's been... yeah, it's been a real journey of patience and just trusting God's time and waiting for that to come up.
Yeah, so I think the last 6 months has taught us so much, and God has just been so, so faithful. There's definitely been times of going, God, how is this going to work out? What's this going to look like? The clock's ticking, and I need to start a job, and we don't have somewhere to live, and various different things. But yeah, just time and time again, we've just been reminded of God's faithfulness, God's love, and God's provision. And we've just been so blessed, and we're so grateful to now be a part of you guys here in Chichester and to call this our home. And yeah, we just really wanted to share God's goodness through that.
Thank you, guys. I mean, it's so good. Just one thing to say on it. When I first met these guys, it was like the first thing was we needed to find a good church first. That was like their priority. We need to get ourselves, find out where God's leading us, and then we're going to trust him for everything else. So I just want to commend you guys for your faith in doing that. And it's good to hear, isn't it? So next up is Katie. Where's Katie Cooper? Give her a hand as well.
Thanks. Okay, so my year has been up and down, and it starts with a bit of background. About 4 years ago, I was coming to the end of a fixed-term contract at a school that I loved and had nowhere else to go. I was a TA, and through lots of prayer and lots of hurdles, God provided the opportunity for me to go to university to study as a teacher. So I have studied, and although COVID interrupted those studies quite considerably, I managed to graduate last year with a first. And thank you. Started applying for jobs. But there were many, many, many applications sent and only two interviews, which both were unsuccessful. And I was left feeling pretty despondent. My predisposition is to feel like a failure. So everything felt like I'd wasted my time. I'd wasted 4 years of our family life, obviously not having an income to provide as part of the household. And then obviously no prospect of that improving in the near future with no job. And although all the way through the process of uni and getting to uni, I really felt like God was making a way. There were many situations where there didn't seem to be a possibility, and he opened doors for me and felt truly that he wanted me to pursue this new career. But at that point, it felt like I'd completely misheard him. I'd, you know, got it wrong, and that I wasn't meant to be a teacher, and I should just go back to being a TA. I say just. A TA is a very important job. But COVID was... We had COVID in our family in August. We were all quite poorly. We had to cancel our holiday. I missed my graduation because we were all poorly, and it just felt like things were getting worse and worse. We were just out of isolation in time for Grace Camp. So as the we headed off to Grace Church Camp, and all the time I was thinking about all my fellow students beginning their new jobs and getting ready to start in new schools and feeling generally pretty down in the dumps that I didn't have anything to do. However, while we were at Grace Church Camp, my dad was taken into hospital. And although we were able to, well, I personally wasn't able to see him, but some of our family were able to see him, and we were told he was improving, he died quite suddenly on the 1st of September, which hit us really hard. And at that point also, that same week, my daughter Livy, who some of you might know, has had an ongoing health condition, was due to have an operation. We'd been waiting 4 years for this operation, and they'd ummed and ahed about whether they could do it, whether they'd be able to do it, whether they had the specialist surgeons to do it, and it was due to happen. But because we'd had COVID, they weren't happy about us potentially going into hospital. And there's a silly... Well, not a silly rule. There is a rule that if you've had COVID, you can't then retest for 90 days. And obviously, they needed a test for us to go into hospital. So we were worried about that not happening. That same week, we had the confirmation that she could have the op. And it was suddenly super clear that God had it all in hand. He had very, very deliberately given me time and space when I was going to need it. And I was so grateful, so blessed to have the freedom from a new job to grieve and care for Liv completely. So 4 months on, through another series of very much God-given opportunities, not the usual way round you'd get a job, I have now started working this month in the school I originally interviewed for, without an interview, not a second interview, and in a full-time role rather than a part-time role, which was the original job I went for, which is just incredible. So a verse that has always been important to all of us in our family, Jem has it tattooed on his arm, if you fancy seeing it, is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper and not to harm you. And although my faith has been hugely tested, I'd forgotten that verse. I wasn't living it fully all year. He consistently reminded me of that verse. And my faith, although tested, has grown hugely. I am so in awe that God just drops things in just exactly when you need them. And so thankful that he is with us through everything, and never leaves us and never forsakes us. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you. Again, I just want to commend these guys. I mean, we'll queue up later and look at Jeremy's tattoo. But throughout all of this, all of that going on, you see these guys, they're often at the back, they're serving on that. They've been serving on Alpha, and they're so sort of faithful to just serving God's church. So I commend you publicly for that and to hear God providing for you. So next up is Sean McCarthy. Where are you, Sean? I haven't seen you this morning. There you are. And give Sean a hand, and he'll tell you a bit about his story. You okay with that?
Thank you. Thanks, Thomas. Morning, everyone. Thomas has actually made this difficult this morning because he said to me, I want you to say more than you said just before Christmas and do it in a shorter period of time. So I'll try. I am going to just briefly recap what I spoke about just before Christmas. Apologies to those that heard it, but I'll just try and sort of mix it up a bit. But it's really for the benefit of those that did not or didn't have the opportunity to hear it. So over a decade ago, Daniel and I were living in Dubai. It was a fairly stressful time. I had just been made redundant, but I was quite gung-ho and I was about to start my own business when I got diagnosed with fairly aggressive prostate cancer. That made things quite complicated and quite difficult. Not the best time to try and start to create a business. Obviously, we were members of Grace Church, which is a multi-denominational church in Dubai. I'm not sure if it is associated with the commission. And, of course, all the saints there, friends, family members, started to pray, including my mother-in-law, who I have had great admiration and respect for. And she was a devoted Christian. And on one evening, she had been praying for us, and she said she dropped her Bible. And when she picked it up, it had changed pages in a different place. And it just struck her when she opened it. It opened up in Isaiah 57:19. Now, the symbolic, and I know, you know, one shouldn't be a conspiracy theorist, but I know that God speaks to us and sends us messages. But when I looked at this, this was actually the year of my birth, which was 1957, but in reverse. And what that verse said was, you know, peace to all near and far, for I will heal them all. And it wasn't just about me, but down the road from where my mother-in-law lived was another young gentleman who was also severely ill. Needless to say, he was healed. God was very, very merciful. And I remember what Catherine said earlier this morning, that God says, I will provide for all your needs. Short of that was very shortly afterwards, I got the offer of a job outside of Dubai, across the border in Qatar. It was a great job, fantastic job, but also with really exceptional and free medical care. And God cured me and God healed me. I'm going to just quickly jump back to 2 years before that. And 2 years before that, I'd actually sadly witnessed my own mother pass away in very rapid time from pancreatic cancer. She was diagnosed in the December. By the end of February, she had passed away. It wasn't a pretty thing to watch, and it actually had a huge impact on me in the sense that it actually created what became one of my biggest fears, was my fear of pancreatic cancer. And for the next decade, it wasn't all doom and gloom. Life was great. God really provided for us, and we had a great time. And then on St. Patrick's Day last year, and, you know, by that time I knew there was something sort of wrong, but I got up that morning, and I was yellow. I was completely yellow. And, you know, I was talking last night with Janet, and she actually cracked a joke, which I think was quite funny. She said, weren't you miffed that you weren't green, given it was St. Patrick's Day? But no, I was yellow. And I had actually yellow jaundice. And, of course, went to the doctor. Prognosis came back, my worst fear. I was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And I must say, it was like an absolute sledgehammer blow to my gut. In terms of my faith, I didn't lose faith. But I'll be honest, it really knocked me for six. All of the saints in this church, again, family members in churches abroad, rallied, prayed for us, prayed for me. I'm immensely grateful to everybody in this church and even beyond who prayed for us. Thank you all. But although I'm grateful to you all, this isn't about the saints who prayed for me. It's about God and God's intervention. And on the 1st of June, I underwent successful surgery. They were able to remove the tumor. There's been no indication or signs of any metastasis or spread to lymph nodes or other organs. The last medical checkup I went for, which was just before I did the previous test, me in Christmas, and the medical professional said they're very happy because I'm exactly where they hoped I would be. So I take that as a positive sign. I also take that as a great sign that God has indeed healed me. And then, of course, I had to reflect, why did this happen? You know, and I'm not saying God gave me pancreatic cancer, but why did he allow me to get it? And on reflection, because believe me, I had a number of hours to reflect, lying in hospital and lying at home recovering. And then I came to the realization that I think what actually God did is he enabled me to face my biggest fear. And you can only face your fears with God. Because Scripture says, he says, look, I don't promise you that you're not going to go through life without trials and tribulations. You are going to get them. But I promise you that I'll go before you. I will be there with you every step of the way. And if you just place your faith and trust in me, I will get you through this and I will see you through this. So I came to the realization that this was actually what God was doing, is he was actually helping me to face my biggest fear, which was fear of pancreatic cancer. And then on further reflection, I realized, you know what, my fear wasn't fear of cancer. My fear was actually fear of death. And one only fears death if you actually doubt that you're good enough or worthy enough to be saved. And I don't want to take any words out of Thomas, because again, Thomas and I discussed this a bit last night. And I went home again and reflected upon it, Thomas, and I really believe that this was actually the fear of death. But knowing that one is saved, and we can put our hope and faith in God, because God, or Jesus, died on the cross for us, actually what he's done, he's actually given me, he's flipped it around, and I actually have, effectively, it is now the death of fear. And, you know, so I can only give absolute praise to God and thankfulness to God for everything he's done in our lives and everything he's done and where he's got me to so far in this journey. I don't know if I'm out of the woods. I believe I am. I have faith that I am. And I think the next few months will demonstrate that, but I absolutely believe in that. And my only, if it can be inspiration to anybody who's facing difficulty in your lives, you know, faith is, it's almost like all you have to do is just reach out and grasp it. Sounds probably easier than it is to do, but I've certainly found that you know, that has helped me and got me to where I am today. So thank you.
Stay there. Keep the mic. I think it's a good moment to pray. We did have a chat last night about fear, and I was talking about fear of death and things, and the Bible says that fear has to do with punishment, and actually that within us there is a sense of, whether we know God or not, there's a sense of guilt and the fact that we're not innocent. The Bible makes that clear, and yet Jesus dies to pay the price for all of that. And I thought it'd be good just to take a moment and perhaps just if we could all pray, and maybe that's something you've struggled with, fear of death, just fear of sickness and things like that. And I know it's just common. so much anxiety and stuff is rooted in that. Would you be happy to just pray for people? Is that okay? And just pray that God will deal with that fear?
I've never done that before, but I'll give it my best
shot. Nothing like putting people on the spot. But yeah, let's pray together. Let's put our hands to God. And I'm going to ask Sean just to pray in faith.
Dear Lord, we come to you this morning, and it's not just about the concerns that I have, but it's the concerns that everybody in this church and even beyond, and those at home who are perhaps zooming in, face, Lord. And I just pray that through the Holy Spirit, because we don't have the power or the ability to do it on our own, Lord, we can only do it fundamentally through your grace and your mercy and the Holy Spirit that strengthens our faith in you. So I just pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will come over everyone, especially those that are facing that dilemma or any dilemma, Lord, and that you will strengthen their ability and their faith in you and help them, Lord, just to stretch out, reach out, and to grasp that great hope that you have provided for us, the redemption through your Son, Jesus Christ, who took it all on us. Yeah. And where we feel that we are not worthy, because I think that is what sits, that's the anxiety behind the fear of death. Of course, Lord, there is the fear of the impact on loved ones that one leaves behind. But if we know that we have our redemption in you, and we know that, and we believe that you have died on the cross to take all of that on you, then we really should have or be able to put to bed any fear that we have of death and just believe in your redemption and the life hereafter. So, Lord, I pray that you do come and you strengthen everyone's hope. Give everyone the ability, including myself, Lord, because there will be times when everyone goes through ebbs and flows in faith. But at the time when they need it, Lord, or need it most, please strengthen the Holy Spirit in them so they can reach out and grasp that redemption. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you, Sean. And he is a walking miracle. I mean, Steve and I met with him last March. He'd been diagnosed. We just knew we needed a miracle, and God has done that. And he's just stood there and given a testimony for 10 minutes and had a hernia operation last week as well, didn't you, Sean? So God is clearly at work in this man, and I hope you're encouraged by that. I certainly am. Next up is Tony and Jenny. Where are you, Tony and Jenny? Oh, you're there. And let's give Tony and Jenny a hand. I'm not going to introduce you. I'll let you introduce yourselves, because you introduced yourselves last week a bit as well, didn't you? Or did I imagine that?
You did. You imagined it.
There we are. Because I wasn't here.
So this isn't our story of the last year, but this is a little bit of our story so that you can get to know us. So, I was brought up to go to church. I would have said I was a Christian. I wasn't. But I kind of believed in God, and when I was 16, my dad died, and he had cancer. There's so many stories about cancer today, and he'd had cancer for quite a while, but I never got to the point where I kind of thought he would die. He got very ill very quickly, and within 2 weeks, he died. And I remember just having this sense of saying to God, why? And this incredible kind of anger towards God as to why have you let this happen? And also this kind of feeling towards my dad as well. My dad was the person that was always there and never imagined that he wasn't going to be there. And this feeling of being abandoned by my dad, and like, well, what am I going to do now, and why aren't you there? And I was 16 and just crying out to God and just like, what is going on? And then a year later, my mum met somebody and got engaged very quickly, and within 6 months was married. And to me at 17, I felt like not only had I lost my mom, I lost my dad. I lost my mom as well. And right into this situation of just feeling like, what is going on? I met this lady who just sat me down. And she got out one of these little gospel tracts and started explaining the gospel to me. And I was brought up in church, and I knew that Jesus died. I knew Jesus died on the cross, but I don't think I ever knew why. And she started explaining the gospel to me and how our sin separates us from God. And whatever we do, we try and earn our way to God. We try and please him. We try and appease him and get his approval. But whatever we do, it's not good enough. But Jesus died in our place so that not only would he take our sin, but so that we could be in relationship with God. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to this and I'm thinking it's like a light bulb moment. It's like, wow, why has nobody told me this before? This is kind of starting to make sense. And then she told me this Bible verse, and Katie said it, and it's from Hebrews 13, verse 5. And God says, never will I leave you, nor will I forsake you. And I remember just thinking, God loves me that much that he's willing to die for me. And on top of that, he's promising that he's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. He's not going to die on me. He's not going to give up on me. He's not going to go off with someone else. He's not going to change his mind. His love is there. And I just thought, if this is real, this is what I want. This is, I'm in. And I remember just giving my life to Jesus then and there. And that has been my story of how God came in and just met with me. And my kind of journey, I'm not going to tell you the whole of my story because it's that's 17, I'm 52 now, and there's a lot of years in between. But, you know, God has been there and God has been faithful. And this is why I love the church so much, because not only is God with us, but God puts us in families and in churches. And I was single for a long time, and I prayed for a man. And I think I prayed really hard, because God gave me 5 men. He gave me Tony. And when Tony and I got married, Tony was a widower, and he had 4 boys. So I got Tony, and I got 4 amazing stepsons. And you will hear us talk about our family. And I am not the boys' mum, but they are our family. And fast forward, we now have 2 amazing daughter-in-laws, 2 long-term girlfriends, and 2 grandchildren, and an amazing privilege of being nanny to our wonderful grandchildren.
Great. Well, that was a great moment when me and Jenny got married and got together, because raising 4 teenage boys on my own was a tricky task, and cooking was even harder. But anyway, that wasn't the reason I married Jenny. Just to be clear, right from the outset. But I just want to briefly tell you, I became a Christian when I was 24, so a lot of years ago. And I was a roofer at the time, and all my friends were either roofers or mechanics and that sort of thing. And very few people from that world were Christians that I knew of. But one guy became a Christian. He said, come to church. And so I thought, well, I'll give it a go. And I went, and it was amazing. You know, I thought, wow, these people are different. And I went back in the evening, which he was surprised at, but I went back. And it turns out I went to a prayer meeting of about 12 people, which you think, that is not a place for a roofer who doesn't know Jesus. And I said to God, like, I'm in this prayer meeting, and I think they were praying in a circle. And I said to God, if you're real, I want someone to come up to me right now. And I thought, I'll dispel the God thing, and then I can get back to the pub, which I'd planned after this prayer meeting that I was in. And with that, someone got up from their chair and come over to me and said, I just felt God speak to me and say, are you okay? And I went, no, I'm not okay. This is not meant to happen. No one's. And anyway, they told me about Jesus, and I put my trust in him that evening. And obviously, as everyone else says, and many, many of you in this room, it's the best thing we've ever done, right, to put our trust in Jesus, because he changes everything. And as Jenny has mentioned, I was married before to Sally, and we had 4 children, and she got cancer, and she died of cancer. And obviously, tough times. And as Thomas has said, and other people have said, God doesn't promise you an easy ride, but he promises to be with us. And that's my story. That's the testimony. And that's the testimony of all of us, really. That it's his faithfulness. It's his goodness. It's him who brings us through when we're broken and we're, you know, all the stuff. We are a broken people. But God is faithful. And his faithfulness has come through at every turn. It doesn't mean every day, oh, it's amazing. But you just know God is with you and he's for you. And me and Jenny got married. And we've just known the love of God. And God leading us in different areas at different times. And we've just, I'm sure we'll talk to you at some point about how God has led us to be part of Chichester, the church here. And we've only been here a couple of weeks, right? But we've loved it. And we're so looking forward to doing church with you and loving Jesus together and seeing loads of others come to know Jesus.
Brilliant. Sorry for my terrible introduction there. I just thought that had happened. So, yeah, so these guys have come and joining our leadership team, and it's just wonderful to have you with us, and great getting to know you, just seeing their faith. So I encourage you, go and make friends with these guys. They are wonderful people, and you will be blessed. Next up is Graham Reeves. Let's give him a hand. Graham very faithfully serves all of our team at the back there every week. He's always making sure everything works and checking the mic works. Do you know how to use one of these?
No idea. One, two. Hello. So my story really starts over the last few years, where I've been at work and watching the two senior shareholders approach retirement, get to retirement, and then go past retirement, and sort of waiting and watching to see what's going to happen. There was no real line of succession. There was no children coming up, and the two guys had fallen out with the minor shareholder of the business. While that was going on, sort of 5 or 6 good years of work, all of a sudden in 2019 stopped, and I'd got virtually no work to do. And then in April 2020, COVID turned up, and I was immediately furloughed. I stayed on furlough for 3 or 4 months. I was then brought back on 4 days a week, and then eventually back full time. At about the same time, the minority shareholder started talking to a group of us about the fact that the group of companies was going to be sold off to another group of companies, but our individual company was going to have to be sold on again, because that caused us being a part of the group was going to cause a conflict with a company that they'd already got. I sort of went into a bit of a panic mode at that point, because I was now facing the real possibility of losing my job, and my job is quite specialist, and that I didn't think I was going to get a new one. However, Jenny, my gorgeous wife, who's a bit more sensitive to these things, I felt a peace in her spirit, and that everything was going to be okay. God was in control. I want to say thank you to my life group, because at this time they were praying faithfully for us. They would ask any prayer requests this week, and I would say, yes, there's things going on at work. I can't talk about them, but please pray. And I thank you that you did. Anyway, end of March 2021, our group of companies get sold to this other group. And then on the 29th of April, only 4 weeks later, my company sold off to a management buyout. So without seeking it or thinking I'd ever be in this situation, I'm now finding myself as a director and shareholder of the company that I work for. So I just thank God for his generosity, his grace, and his blessing towards me. And his generosity has been such that since that time, our workload has increased, that our customers are falling over themselves to place orders, and we're now struggling to meet delivery. I just want to finish by saying that on the day the deal went through, my Bible reading for the day was based on a verse from the Old Testament, Ezra 10, verse 4, where it says, "Arise, for this matter is your responsibility. Be of good courage and do it." My prayer for you, all of you, is that whatever situation you find yourself in, be of good courage and do it. Because God is gracious, faithful, and generous, and he'll be with you. Thank you.
Just so encouraging, isn't it? And God's provision in our lives. Thank you for that. So last, and by all means not least, where's Josh? I haven't actually seen you this morning, Josh. Oh, there he is at the back there. So Josh is, come up the front here. Give Josh a hand. And Now, if you've not been around for a while, you may not, if you've only been here in the recent times, you may not recognize Josh, but for those of you that have been here for a long time, Josh actually left Grace Church in 2011, 10 years ago, after God called him to go to Turkey on mission, and since then he's got married to Min Kyung. I said it correctly, I hope. Hi, Min Kyung. Great to have you with us as well. And Josh just happened to be here for the last few weeks, and we thought it'd be great just to get an update from him. We've supported him as a church, and so I'm going to just hand over to Josh. We are a bit over time, but that's okay, I hope. If you do need to go, please feel free to do that. But we'll be just a few more minutes, and then we'll be finishing. So I'll hand over to Josh and give you that. Should be on.
Hello, it's good to see you all. I thought I'd just give an update of where we are at the moment, but also try to kind of include some testimony and stories of how God's led us the last couple of years. So, as Thomas said, I went out to Turkey in 2011, so nearly 10 years ago. I was sent out by Grace Church, and I worked with Philippus, which was a ministry training program for Turkish speaking believers in Ankara, in the capital of Turkey. And so as I was doing that, I met Min Kyung, and we got married in Turkey, and we've now got two children. So that's kind of where we were a couple of years ago. And yeah, I think for a variety of reasons, we both started to feel we really could do with having a year out of Turkey. And so partly because Min Kyung was having sort of mental health troubles, but also I was quite tired and worn out at the same time. And like the reasons for that, I'll explain in a minute. But so we decided to go to Korea. So initially we thought we'll go out to Korea, take a year out, kind of get some time to rest, recuperate, and then go back to Turkey. So that was our plan. But things didn't turn out as we expected them to, as things often do in life. So we moved to Wonju, which is a small city. It's about an hour and a half south of Seoul. Things didn't exactly go as we expected. So Min Kyung's mental health situation got like much, much worse when we arrived. And so she couldn't really be at home with the children on her own. So I was like a kind of stay-at-home dad in like a foreign country where I was still not great at Korean. It's better now, but still not amazing. But anyway. So it really felt like a detour for us. I'd also started to do some English teaching. Private English teaching, but because of Corona, it was just before the Corona outbreak in March, and so all the work I was doing kind of dropped, and I just had a couple of students, and so it really felt like a strange detour that we couldn't understand. And like in this time, God really has spoken to us through the wilderness narrative in Exodus. So most of you know this is like the story of how the Israelites were rescued from Egypt by God and taken to the promised land, to Canaan. And I think most of you may know, but the journey, the actual distance from Egypt to Canaan is actually a very small distance. Like if you went directly, it wouldn't take very long, but God led them through a real detour. He led them to the Red Sea. And I was talking to someone about this recently, and they told me that Moses, he was a shepherd in that desert for about 40 years. And because, you know, there's not a lot of grass and stuff for sheep in that kind of area, he would have had to cover a lot of distance traveling around for those 40 years. So he would have known where he was and where he was going. And he'd have known that God was leading them to a dead end, effectively, to the Red Sea. But as we all know, like God made a way through the Red Sea when the army of Pharaoh was coming upon them. And so really, really felt God was speaking to us that he was leading us through like a wilderness situation, but that we had to trust him. And I think it really forced us to really start to pray more, to especially as a couple, to sit down and pray regularly and seek God regularly together. And we really learned to hear God's voice better, to pray more, get closer to God, but really to get closer to each other. So I think we've kind of got to the point where we're much more honest with each other, much closer as a couple. We've seen God provide for us amazingly financially, because I wasn't able to do the English teaching. Financially, we were in a really difficult situation. But just as God provided manna and quail for the Israelites in the wilderness, God provided for us money just when we needed it. And people would, like, phone me up we'd pray that day, like, Lord, we need money, like, to get to the end of this month. And then suddenly a friend would, like, send a message saying, I've sent some money to you just on time. Or, yeah, we get money just at the right time. And, yeah, as we sort of started to pray together a lot more and seek God together, we really felt it was right to move to Seoul, to the capital, to work with a church there. And Minkyong has applied for job after job. We've had quite a few testimonies like this, but lots of people have applied for jobs and not got jobs. So Minkyong kept applying for a job, not getting a job, applying for a job. And we really felt that God was saying, I'm going to make a way. Like I made through the Red Sea, I'm going to make a way for you. And so, yeah, right now, our plan is still to go to Seoul, but we also have the possibility of going back to Turkey. Minkyong has seen a job at the embassy in Turkey, the Korean embassy in Turkey. And so she's applied for that. And so we're just asking God to open up the right way for us, whether it's to go to Seoul or whether it's to go to Turkey. And we're just really trusting him to do that. So just before I finish, I want to read a verse that God's spoken to us from Isaiah. It's Isaiah 43, verse 15 to 20. So it says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And so God really spoke to us from that. And so we just, at the moment, we're just trusting God that he's going to make a way, whether it's to back to Turkey or whether it's to Seoul. So, yeah, thank you.
Oh. Great. So good to get an update from you guys. And, you know, we'll continue to pray for them and for all that God's doing, and just the courage as well of going out to Turkey and you know, helping to spread the gospel and be on mission there. But we have gone a bit over, so I'm not going to say too much more. You'll be pleased to know. But really good to hear all of those stories. I think the thing that just linked them all together was just, it was difficulty, wasn't it, and challenge, and yet the Bible, Scripture, hearing from God, getting direction from God, and then prayer, crying out to God, and just seeing his faithfulness all the way through. And you know, and that is the life we live in. So I just want to encourage you, if perhaps you're not Christian, you're here this morning as a guest, and I hope some of these things have encouraged you and perhaps stirred questions in you. Like I say, very happy to chat and answer questions, talk to you about these things. We do things like an Alpha course, which sort of explains Christianity over a few weeks. We'll be running one of those later in the year and things. So do stay in touch with us and find out more as well. But I'm just going to finish by praying. So, Father God, I thank you that you are faithful. Lord, if anything this morning, that's what we've heard, that you are faithful. And Lord, that we have a wonderful eternity in heaven with you, Lord, because of Jesus, because we can put our trust in him, Lord. We can face our fears, Lord. We can trust you for provision, Lord. You meet all of our needs, Lord, at the right time. And so, God, help us to be faithful to you, Lord. Keep us close to you, Lord. Help us to pray. Help us to read your word and be encouraged by that. And help us to be your church, Lord. Be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.